Now, it's Food Friday. This week, we're talking about holiday baking. It's the time of year when we might start whipping up big batches of cookies or other favorites for our family gatherings. But with a lot of those gatherings scaled down this year, it's a great time to try something new. And our next guest has ideas on putting a new spin on some of the classics. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite things to bake during the holidays? Are there old family recipes you like to pull out? Are you thinking of trying something new this year? Have you been able to take a simple recipe and give it that little extra something? Or do you need some help? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sean Bolduc is owner of the Baked Lab in Madison, where he bakes custom cakes and teaches baking workshops. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, this time of year, Sean, puts a lot of people in the baking mood. And I know you have to be in the baking mood all year long, but does this time of year give you a little bit of that extra inspiration?
Oh, man. I mean, there's no better time to bake than the holidays, right? It's like baking is all about sharing and giving. And what better way to show how much you love somebody than through some baked goods?
I understand when you're teaching classes, Sean, you like to inspire people to find things where they can kind of improvise and experiment with new things. And I got to say, when I cook, I'm all about doing that. I can start making a soup and not know what kind of soup it's going to be till halfway through. But mostly when I'm baking, it's like I'm back at high school chemistry class. And I got to do things just the right way. How can I loosen up, man?
Oh, I know. I mean, baking is definitely a science. It's all about the chemistry. But what I like to teach in my workshops is that, you know, when you have a base recipe, like a pound cake or something like that, there's so many different ways that you can flavor it and make it different a million times over, right? So you take that base recipe and then one time you add some orange zest to it. And then the next time you add some cinnamon spice to it and you've got a completely different baked good this time, right?
Yeah, and that reminds me, one of the recipes you passed along to us, we're going to have that up at WPR.org/Food Friday, an orange and apérol loaf. Interesting flavor. It's one thing that you can use that basic template and then jazz it up. So talk about this loaf itself. And first of all, did I say it right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I love some apérol, right? A nice aperitivo to have before some dinner. But why not add it to your baked goods? I'm all about adding some booze to my baked goods. But this recipe is just a standard pound cake. And I spiced it up this year with a little bit of orange zest and then a nice little sweet drizzle on top of it that's got some orange and apérol mixed into it. And I'd love to hear what other people are thinking that they can do with this pound cake as well.
Now, talk about the loaf itself. How does this come together? How easy is it for me to make?
Oh, man, this is like one of the most simple recipes, right? You throw a bunch of dry ingredients, your sugar, your flour, your baking powder, all into a bowl together. You add some room temperature butter to it, mix it up, and then you add your wet ingredients and you've got your loaf ready to go. It couldn't be any easier. It's a great beginner recipe. But then it's fun to kind of figure out what you can do from there and change up the flavors next time you make it.
Yeah. So you mentioned the orange zest and the little booze here as the topping we've got online. What other things might you do with that basic loaf to add a completely different twist to it?
Sure. So, you know, flavor profile wise, you could add any type of spice that you wanted to the loaf itself. So you could add cinnamon. You could add a special type of cinnamon. And then, you know, the glaze is just powdered sugar with some type of liquid in it. So you could basically take any type of liquid out of your refrigerator and add it to it, and it'll add its own little flavor profile. So you could do like orange and cranberry, or you could do a bourbon on top of it. Like literally the flavor profiles are endless.
And then you can make this look fancy with that drizzle and how you lay it out there. How do we get the consistency right? Not too thin, not too thick, so we can kind of be artistic with it on top of the loaf.
Totally. I think that making a glaze is like the easiest possible thing that you can do, right? So you've got powdered sugar. You know, I always start for something like this size, about a cup and a half of powdered sugar. And then I'll start with anywhere around like 2 tablespoons of a liquid with it, right? So all of a sudden you're mixing it up and you're like, oh man, this is really thin. So all you need to do to thicken it up a little bit and get it to a consistency that seems right for you is to add a little bit more powdered sugar. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, if for some reason you've got a glaze that ends up being a little too thick, you just add a little bit more liquid to it.
Talking to Sean Bolduc, baker based in Madison, owner of The Baked Lab. He's giving us some inspiration for trying some new baking projects over this holiday season. Hey, maybe you don't have the big family get together. You don't need 15 dozen sugar cookies to share out among everybody. You want to try something new? Call in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you're baking. Maybe baking this weekend. Maybe you're in the kitchen right now. If you need some advice from Sean, he may be able to answer your baking questions and concerns. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Now, Sean, you let us know you're a big fan of baking for breakfast. I love baked goods for breakfast or any time, really. You shared with us a recipe for sticky buns, which is hard to go wrong with. Tell us about these guys.
Oh, totally. I know that everybody has been completely obsessed with making sourdough breads this during the quarantine. And most of us probably have a little bit of yeast left over in our refrigerators that we purchased earlier on. Why not make a brioche dough wrapped in cinnamon sugar, topped with like a caramel and pecans, for breakfast on Christmas morning, right? So this is basically just a standard brioche dough, an enriched dough. It's got butter in it. It's got some eggs in it, all mixed up. You're going to go ahead and proof that, right? So we're going to let it rise for a couple of hours, and then we're going to turn it into some cinnamon buns and prep it and let it proof overnight in the refrigerator, ready to go on Christmas morning to pop in the oven and have for breakfast.
Okay, but once I know how to make that brioche dough, Sean, where can I take that if I want some variety in my life?
Oh, man. Brioche dough can be used in a million different ways. The first way that comes to mind is a standard just bread, right? So you could make that brioche dough, pop it in a loaf tin, and let that rise, and then you've got a beautiful loaf of brioche dough. You can also use it for something called a babka. Have you heard of a babka before?
I have. I don't know that I could define it for you, though.
Right? So I actually work with another person here in town. We share a kitchen together, and she makes babka on the regular. That's her business. So babka is a brioche dough. It's similarly rolled out like you would a cinnamon bun. It's filled just like you would a cinnamon bun with a bunch of stuff. It's rolled up, but then the cool thing is that it's sliced down the center so you can see all of those beautiful layers of different fillings, and then it's braided and then baked as a loaf. So it's more of a sweet loaf that's got something in it like, say, Nutella or cinnamon pecan, or again, the options are unlimited.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rosa is with us in Waterford. Rosa, hi.
Hello. I was wondering, do you use the cake flour? Because I've seen that on the store shelves, and you know, wondering what's the main difference. But in most recipes, that usually calls for all-purpose flour, not cake flour.
Oh, when do we use cake versus all-purpose, Sean?
Okay, so the difference between the two is the protein content in there, right? The gluten that is waiting in there for us to activate it with some liquid. So a cake flour tends to be a little bit lighter, has a little less protein in it. For something like a bread, I would not be using a cake flour because it doesn't have enough protein, or it doesn't have enough gluten in it to really develop and get a strong enough dough that can withstand the rise. So for something like a cinnamon bun or a brioche dough, I might go more towards a bread flour, which has more gluten in it, as opposed to maybe a cake or even the pound cake that might have a little less, and I wouldn't be so apprehensive to use a cake flour. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So with the pound cake, though, it sounds like we might be able to do it either way?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get a different result, right? I tend to stick with an all-purpose flour for the pound cake, pretty standard. But again, for something like a brioche dough, I definitely would not go with a cake flour for it. If anything, I would either go all-purpose or a little bit heavier with bread flour.
Rosa, thanks a lot for calling in. Hope that helps out. We're talking to Sean Bolduc for this week's edition of Food Friday. He's the owner of the Baked Lab in Madison. We're looking at ways to get creative with our holiday baking, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite thing to bake this time of year, or for somebody else to bake and then you eat? Are there favorite family recipes you're always sure to make if you're not baking for as big a crew as usual this year? Are you going to try something new? And do you need some help with your baking? Maybe a question you have for something you're going to tackle this very weekend. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Sean Bolduc, owner of the Baked Lab in Madison. We're talking about holiday baking and ways to get creative with some classic recipes. You can join in with your holiday baking favorites or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lori posted there. She says, we always make snickerdoodles, and we always use colored sugar to decorate. And I love a lot of families, of course, Sean, have their traditions every year. You got to have blank. Are there favorites of yours this time of year?
Totally. So I shared the sticky bun recipe with you guys because I always make cinnamon buns for my family when I'm visiting for the holidays. It is like just a tradition that's kind of come about over the past 10 years. So that's one of my favorite things. The other thing I got to tell you, I'm from Boston originally, and my family is still out there. My dad is one of 17 children. Wow. And I know, right? And my meme used to always make what we call the Swedish pastry. And that reminds me of the holidays as well. It was this mixture of a puff pastry with a shoe dough on top of it, covered in sugar glaze and maraschino cherries. And it just reminds me of the holidays.
And she was baking in bulk, it sounds like.
She was definitely baking in bulk. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she took care of 17 or feeding 17 kids at the same time. It's wild.
Now, earlier we were talking about flour for cakes. I'm a big fan of when people make, I've never made it myself, a flourless chocolate cake. What goes into making that?
Yeah, flourless chocolate cake really just takes the flour out of it, right? So we've got something like some chocolate mixed with butter, and then we're mixing in some eggs directly into that melted mixture. And then that's pretty much the extent of it. It's going to be a denser cake, right? It's going to be more like a really dense fudgy brownie, but it's also delicious in its own right.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Sherry is with us in Amherst. Sherry, hi.
Hi. Hi, this is Sherry. I'm calling from Amherst. And I just wanted... Hi. Hi. Oh,
Sherry, we lost you there. What baked good did you want to tell us about?
Okay, my sister Dolly. Okay.
You're cutting in and out. I got a note from our producer that your sister makes a cheesecake recipe with a secret ingredient that is cottage cheese. Sorry we lost your line there, Sherry. I've not heard of that. I don't think cottage cheese and cheesecake, Sean?
I have actually never heard of that either. I mean, I guess that it makes sense, right? It's another type of dairy. It's a thickener. Yeah, definitely. I'd be interested in trying that out, although I'm not a huge cottage cheese fan myself.
I understand you do make cheesecake, though. What is your favorite? And you can, this is another one. Once you know how to make cheesecake, I know you can do a lot of different things with it. What's your favorite way to jazz up a cheesecake?
I mean, I got to be honest with you. Cheesecake in its natural form, just like slightly heightened with a really good vanilla, is perfect to me. But I've done everything from adding, this is a little wild. I've added black sesame to cheesecake. So we've got a little bit of like a different peanutty flavor going on in there, and added some raspberry sauce to it. And I think black sesame and raspberry make a fantastic pair. So that's kind of something wild I've done in the past.
Interesting. That sounds pretty good. Sherry, thanks again for calling in and sharing that with us. Let's see. How about cookies, Sean? What's a cookie we can tackle maybe outside of some of the holiday favorites, or a way to jazz up some of the holiday favorites?
Yeah. So I'm always a big fan of, like, again, going back to these basic recipes and then building on them using my own creativity. So I love something like a really good shortbread cookie, and then finding new ways to jazz it up. Maybe this year adding some matcha to it, or adding some fennel to it, and kind of playing with some flavors from there.
Cool. Let's go to Ingrid now in Eagle River. Ingrid, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about your the caller about the flourless chocolate cake. What I do is I put cooked quinoa in a food processor along with cocoa, sugar, and eggs and butter, and mix it all up and pour it in a pan, and it does turn out like a cake. But like the other person mentioned, it is a little denser, but it's not as dense as a brownie. It does taste like a chocolate cake, and it it helps for people who have gluten allergies.
Huh. Ingrid, you said quinoa in your cake.
Quinoa.
Yeah. Okay. Sean, that's interesting. People trying different grains, in this case, I guess, a gluten-free grain in their baking.
Yeah, I'm being stumped today. These are some new ideas. I've never actually heard of quinoa in a flourless chocolate cake, but, you know, it's a starch of sorts and would definitely add a little body to it. And it's probably pretty mild in flavor, so it might add just like a little nuttiness to the chocolate cake. That sounds delicious. I might have to look up a recipe for that one, too.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Sean Bolduc, baker based in Madison, owner of The Baked Lab. He's giving us a lot of inspiration for holiday baking, new twists on some old classics along the way. Hey, here's a challenge for you, Sean. If we can't get together with people and we want to ship them a baked good, what is in your arsenal that would travel the best?
Yeah, you know, you got to go back to those good old cookie recipes, right? Cookies travel the best. One of the things that my grandmother always taught me was when you throw your cookies in a tin to travel, throw a little piece of bread in there, and it'll help keep them nice and moist while they're traveling and won't stale them as quickly. So that's definitely one thing that I would stick to for mailing this winter. People always ask me if they can ship my cakes, and I'm like, I definitely cannot get a cake in the mail to you. I wish I could, though.
Let's go to cottage cheese. Let's go to Mary Beth in New Berlin. This is interesting. Mary Beth, hi.
Hi. I heard that woman that kept getting cut off. My mother made my father a cheesecake with cottage cheese every year for his birthday. And it was just, we all looked forward to it. We only got it once a year. We couldn't wait. And last year was my father, the 100th anniversary of my father's birthday, so I made one. It was so good.
It came out okay. Are you using your mom's recipe, Mary Beth?
I am.
Does it? I mean, I worry. Does it seem like I'm eating cottage cheese in the cheesecake, or is it just kind of all blend in?
No, because you mix it up, and it's got gelatin and egg and heavy cream and maraschino cherries, and you put it into a graham cracker crust. Mm. And I told my sister I was making. She said, "I'll be there."
Interesting. Mary Beth, thank you so much for sharing that. And Sean, you know, part of it is the delicious recipe. Part of it, though, is the memories and the occasion, the anniversary of her father's birthday in this case. And I know you do wedding cakes and things like that. How important is it to have that, I guess, that memory and that celebration that goes along with our baking?
Totally. I mean, baking is all about memory and I agree with that. So oftentimes when I'm making wedding cakes or wedding desserts for a couple, I often start with asking them, is there something nostalgic, like some type of dessert that their family always had for special occasions that they want to incorporate into their special day? And so it's always fun to hear, you know, my grandmother always made lemon pie. And I'm like, okay, well, how can we recreate a lemon pie for this special day and find a new twist to add to it?
And in our last few moments, Sean, do you have advice on making a cake look good? Like, I could bake a cake. It doesn't usually look great. It looks like those, you know, those cake fails that people put on the internet. Do you have a tip to make them kind of social media Instagram ready, as people say?
Oh, man. So I would say the two things to, if you want to up your cake game, is to get yourself a little turntable to decorate cakes on. They're pretty inexpensive. And also a straight edge. Whenever you're putting buttercream or something like that onto a cake, using a straight edge and your turntable, you're going to get a nice clean surface. And that would probably be my best piece of advice for upping your cake game this Christmas.
Fantastic. Sean, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. You have a great afternoon.
You too. That's Sean Bolduc, baker based in Madison, owner of the Baked Lab. He teaches baking in addition to doing it. And he talked with us about ways to get creative with our holiday baking this year. You can find recipes for those breakfast buns and that great pound cake recipe. We've got it over at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can share your holiday baking experiments with us on the Ideas Network Facebook page.